Hello, this is Victor Nyauchi, listening to Clubhouse and Podcast.
Not that cricket. Clubhouse and Podcast. The name is Larry Quiterai, and I'm here with Master Eli. What's happening?
Hi, Larry. How you doing?
I'm good. We're standing here overlooking Harare Sports Club, and it's a beautiful ground, this, isn't it?
Well, this is what we term the home of cricket when you're in Zimbabwe. Lush green outfield, the embankment also looking beautiful. And the weather actually is all cricket, and then you're having a view of the players just about to go through their training paces. India was here earlier, so it was quite a good one. Good session they had.
I'm a fan of watching practice sessions because you kind of see what the plans are. You kind of see what the combination they're working on. So, like, even when the new coach, Justin Sammons, came in, when I came in, I think his first session I was here, he had a full-day session. He spent a lot of time with the guys facing spin. But you found that he's when it came to West Madevere and Innocent Kaia, he had them facing pace, which gave the impression that they were going to be opening. So you could see certain things like that by just watching training.
True. And it does help you understand what the plans are facing sides like India, and just what they're looking to do, what they need to look out first for, which kind of makes sense for openers, because the pace of Mukesh Kumar, Avish Khan, those are the ones that will put up front, and then later on the Washington Sundars come through, Ravi Bishnoi as well. So that's definitely the plan, to say, okay, anyone later down the order, these are the guys that you are likely to face, and you need to be prepared for that. So that's good.
The nightmare that is called Ravi Bishnoi. Just didn't know what was coming. There was in the second match, I think he took like something like 3 for 11. Yeah. Oh, it was 2 for 11. And you could see there was a session, a point when, unfortunately for Jonathan Campbell, he kept facing him. And poor Jonathan did not know what to do.
Sometimes you don't know what to expect, man. You just don't know what to expect, and it's amazing how some people are that talented that you are left baffled, like, what am I going to do? You know, I know there's a notion in cricket when they say play each ball on its merit, but that's when you have kind of an idea that this is going to be outswing, either it's straight or it's swinging out, or either it's straight or swinging in. But when you don't know, is it a googly, is it turning in, is it turning away, is it straight, is it topspin, that's difficult.
It's interesting when you say that, because I mean, there's certain bowlers that you just need to survive. And speaking to Abhishek in the press conference, he mentioned in this instance, he was talking about Blessing Zarabani and I think a bit of Tendai Chatara, because they are the ones who were under 10 in terms of their economy. Like, no, there's certain batsmen you say, look, this one's difficult to hit. And he was saying Gaikwad came and told him, like, no, because after he hit the ball and got dropped by Wellington Masakaza at Medan. Yeah. It was one of those where he said, look, he came to me and says, no, stop trying to hit this guy. Just leave him. Let's deal with the other guys.
That's a plan that comes into play when you know how good someone is, and just knowing that this is the plan that we can, there are people that we can take on. But this is T20 cricket. You've only have 10, 20 overs. And if you look at a team like India, where you have 4 or 5 good bowlers, you can't say, okay, no, it's okay. I will let him off. I'll deal with it. Who are you going to deal with?
I mean, look, I think there were, in the first match, Zimbabwe with 70 for 3 until Ravi Bishnoi came. Then there was just a collapse of sorts. Of course, towards the end, there was that beautiful innings from Clive Madande. And you spoke about him when you were, after seeing him in Ghana. And you were very effusive in your praise of him.
Definitely was. It was quite impressive. How I described him, that he's cool, calm and collected. He's got a good cricket awareness of the game in situations. He plays according to the situation that he finds himself in. And I think he expressed that maturity when he came in, looking at where Zimbabwe were, the amount of overs that were left, and him choosing to rotate strike in very key positions, knowing what to target, where he can score off, and also looking at the type of bowlers that he's facing. And that is impressive for a man, young man of his age, and that's what we need to see more of, not only from him but from the rest of the team, and also then the what we call the future Zimbabwean cricketers.
I'll say one thing, Zimbabwe and low scores. Score 118, you win. Score 200, you lose. What is it about Zimbabwe? You look at the World Cup against Pakistan, a couple of matches here. I think a couple of years ago, 2016 might have been also a low score against India. Yeah. Is it because that, you know, if they set a high score, they relax a bit because they think they got a lot more balls to play with? Or, I mean, look, they have set some low scores and gotten beaten, so it's not as if there's a pattern here. But it just, it does seem to be that a lot of the times when they score a really low score, they're very competitive, they get close.
For me, I think, this is me personally, I think it's a mindset thing that we need to get over, whereby when you get one over your better opponent for the longest time, like you see the Awi beat India in the first game, then coming into the second game, there needs to be an understanding of what you've just done and saying, if I did it, then I can do it again, you know. But there seems to be this, that lapse in concentration whereby people relax and say, okay, we beat them. Ah, it's okay. They are going to go back, do their homework. That's what you need to know. When you've won the game here and you still got four more games, you need to know, what are they going to do next? What are they likely to do in order to get back at us? Because they believe that they're better than us. And once you do that and you come back with the notion that you're going to try and do ABCD, everybody who has watched India play in number of games, you will know that this is what they're going to do. They have put us to bat first, and they have seen that, okay, Zimbabwe have a fighting chance. If they are bowling, they are good at defending. Let's see how they are when they are chasing a target. We've got tons of batters. So they are going to say, let's bat first and see what we can push and how will they come at us. So we needed to be prepared for that. Somebody needed to think along those lines and prepare us for that.
I mean, look, it's easier to learn when you lose because, you know, I need to fix something. When you win, it's that much harder, especially when the turnaround time is that short. I mean, look, if I look at Sunday's match, I think it's one of those Brazil losing 7-1. It's if you look at it, guy, at 1.3 overs, Shubman Gill is just gone.
Yeah.
Guy Quad comes in. Tough chance, but a lot of the times, Blessing Zarabani will take that catch. 2-3 overs later, Wellington Masakaza. This is Guy Quad on a duck. Wellington Masakaza with Abhishek Sharma on 23.
Yeah.
At that point, it's 40-3 all of a sudden. So it's not as if, the way I see it, that there was necessarily a big lesson. I think, again, quoting Abhishek, you're like, we didn't have time to think about the loss.
Right.
So that made it easier to bounce back because you just go back to your processes. But if you had a few days, then maybe you start overthinking what we need to do. So I think therein lies the problem that, look, it wasn't a great performance to win. It was a great bowling and fielding performance, but the batting was not in great shape. So I think that would have been your thinking but do you have time to think about it? Because look, you're a human being. It's not like the World Cup where you play a game today,
right,
and then you've got like 2-3 days off and you play again. This is 24 hours later, you're back. Even less than 24 hours later, because a match is 3.5 hours. So you're talking about 20 hours later, you're back playing. So there's no time to really think about processes.
Yeah, true as that may be. I'm glad that you pointed out the errors that we made on Sunday's game. The dropped catches. Had those been taken, it could have been a different story. We could have definitely put them in a place where we are much better off and we could have taken that game. It would have given us a better hand.
That's not saying that Rinku Singh would have come in and made no runs.
Yeah, but however you look at where they ended up, that there was some sort of consistency of losing wickets apart from Abhishek, who took us on and thrashed us until his 100 came about. But it would have changed how they would have approached us.
Yes. Because you want to preserve yourself a bit more.
Exactly. You want to try and preserve yourself. And you're going to come not with the same attitude of saying, I'm going to blast off. You're like, oh, these guys are good as the same as they were yesterday. That means I need to be mindful of how I bat. You know, unlike somebody, you are now seeing someone dropped at 23 and is going to score on 100.
And someone else. So are you saying to a certain extent, okay, that was a record score ever at Harare Sports Club, 234, I think it was. 234 for two. Beating the Australia one in 2018, 229 for two. Aaron Finch, I still got nightmares about him. But I mean, I know I say nightmares, but it was just a beauty to watch these IPL players stroking the ball across the ground or heaving it over the top. So I'm not really complaining about the performance of the, I'll call it the show, because it was really nice to see some really good cricket being played. And even you look at Brian Bennett when he hit those two huge sixes. Next ball, people say, look, he should have tried to play a single, but it swung in. If it had continued in the same vein that it had gone, that was disappearing for six as well. Sure. So it was there. It wasn't the slot. It just that he swung in. It was in the area that he should be hit. But having said that, the question I would ask is this a case of, it's a new, I guess, you know, a new era for, with Justin Simmons and so forth. So there's going to be a little bit less of consistency.
Not consistency, I'd say. But for me, I think if you look at Zimbabwe's setup, the way that we have in terms of the team itself, it's new faces that are coming together to represent the senior side. There's a little bit of inexperience in it. And the experience, they can only get it in playing such kind of opposition. Like you're saying, how you are describing what happened with Brian Bennett, that those two same balls, he was able to blast them off in the third one. The bowler saw, like, you know what? Okay, anything that is swinging away, he's clubbing me. Let me try
something. There's not much swing in the surface. That was one of the few that swung on the day. So it's not as if there was a lot of swing.
Yeah. He just changed the trajectory of the ball. Mm. And that outdid him. So that's something that now Brian is not aware of, that this guy does not just have one variation. He's got a lot in his arsenal. So I need to be aware of that. And I need to be cognizant of the fact that I have sent him on two maximums. So he's not going to do the same thing for the third time. He's going to do something different. So that definitely is something that you will only gain that experience being out there in the middle. So that's good. So, and also look at how Wesley Madere played. Wickets were falling on the other side, and then he decided to play the anchor role in the team. And it worked well, you know. Had it come off well for Clive Madande, like in the previous game, could have been a different story. This time around, it didn't work out. So there are a few positives that we can draw in terms of how they're playing. All we just say is just give them a little bit of time and let's see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, look, they've had 1 week's training with the coach, so I'm not expecting all sorts of miracles. It's not, I can't even call it 1 week. They started on Tuesday. But having said that, there are two players, I think, that have struggled a bit. He had a bit of runs on the first match. That is Dion Myers. Yeah. Certainly a player, and then got hit for plenty on the, that was brutal. And then you've had, then he came out for a duck, and also was involved in that odd run out with Jonathan Campbell. Campbell also is looking like he might need a little bit of assistance. What do you think of their performance in general? By the way, this is not advocating for them being dropped. I'm just talking about what is there. I certainly think they should. If I were the coach, we'll talk about possible changes later. You talk.
I'm glad because you've brought this up. I heard the post-match presentation. You asked the same thing, but in a different manner to the skipper, and he was like, let's not be, quick to say let's have changes here and there. I beg to differ with the skipper. This is my own personal opinion.
We're gonna play it. Let's play it.
So, should we expect any of the other players on the bench to get some games through the series?
So, Larry, we're a nation that are very quick to sort of ask for changes, certainly when there's a bad game. Let's not forget that 24 hours ago, these boys were the Sabres who won us a game against India. So, right now it's difficult to answer, but yes, Richard Garaba has earned his right. If he's declared fit, then I think he should be in the team. But that's a call from that needs to be made by the physio and the doctors. So if he's good to go, then I think he comes straight back in. But apart from that, I'm not a big believer of bringing too many changes just because these boys have had a bad game. Let's not forget that 24 hours ago, these were the same boys that won us a game as well. So I want to show that faith. Selectors wants to show that faith. The board wants to show that faith as well. So I think we're all on the same page in that.
Just for clarity, it was just see if everybody's going to get a chance to play, not to say that anyone should be dropped.
Listen, this is not a series where we want to just hand out debut caps.
So there, Raza says, you know what? Everybody wants to drop players and that so forth. And, you say no.
No, I'm saying no. He's looking at the series. I'm looking at the squad. Okay. Kaye has been there for quite a while, and
it's two matches.
Yeah, no, not two matches, but in the side, as in the Zimbabwean team. Take it, be it ODI, be it T20. There has been no really consistency in how he scores runs. And
this is a new regime, new coach, new settings. Everybody's getting a new chance, as we see Richard Ngarava walking down there.
I am not saying don't have him in the side, but I'm just saying, you know what? Let's try something else.
Like who? Lord Maru?
Yes, most probably. Let's give Marumani a chance. Give Antum Nakvi a chance.
Well, I mean, Nakvi, we don't know whether his papers are ready.
Yes, but I'm just saying, you know what? In that regard, surely there is... you can be allowed to make changes.
Okay, is it making changes? Because this is the thing that I would then argue. Because my question was whether they would essentially rotate the squad more than him thinking I'm calling for a change to players. Because you've got 17 players. Is it a kind of series where everybody's going to get a chance to play? Or is it one of those where there's a core that has almost been decided on? And I would be hesitant to think of a core that exists because it's a new coach has come in. You probably want to see a few more players. And as it stands, you already haven't qualified for the World Cup.
Right.
In 2026, you're going to have to play a qualifier. Yeah. So that means ultimately, as it stands, you essentially building a team for 2026. Of course, there's the test match in 2.5 weeks now, and then there's a test match in it's actually 2 weeks. Oh goodness! And then there's England test match next year, and there's a lot of basketball there that's going to be played. So this is not a free hit, if you want to call it that. So what would you say?
Like you did say, we don't know whether there's been a call, whether you're going to try and say, let me build some sort of consistency with this side, new coach. Give him let him get an opportunity to see as many players as he can. You've been given 2 games out of 5. I'm sure we can try something else. That's what I'm saying. Give other guys another opportunity to get a run. Will it work? I don't know, but that's my notion. Give him the opportunity to see Lord Maru in the lungs.
Yeah, okay, I get your point. I mean, look, I don't know. Because the thing is, okay, you're specifically talking about Innocent Kaye. So the rest of the series is not there?
For me, yes.
So it's done for the series for you. But that's just the only one. Unless Richard Ngara comes back. Yes. If Ngara comes back, who drops out?
Unless if it's a technical decision, we need 2 really premium bowlers up at the end, which is something that I think why we got thrashed. When you're looking at, you have only Blessing Zarabani, who's premium pace,
And Chitara.
Yeah.
Shatara is good in terms of his variations. Yes. So he tended to be a difficult to put away. Yes, there was an over in which he went for 16, yes, had a pullback and got two, three wickets, and he ended up going at less than 10 and over, mm, at the end of the match. But because generally, who are you going to drop? Are you going to go for your pinch hitter at the end? Luke Jongwe, because he's been the third bowler.
I wouldn't drop Luke.
So you go for Chitara?
Not necessarily. It's kind of a difficult position to be, because when I look at it, we have the skipper himself. He comes in and throws in four overs.
Throw? Right. Wow. He's going to get ICC to come. He throws. He chucks.
No. As in bowls. Then you have Richard Ngarava. You have Chatara. Chatara was redeemed himself from still people calling him the one that people target after the qualifiers. I think he's done well to make a comeback. Definitely, then it would be a gamble to say between Chatara and Ngarava, what can I bring back in? You know, Jongwe does come handy with the bat. You did see that, you know. But I think still you can do a little bit more with the bat, you know. I think he just needs to also just give himself that more thought into his bowling towards the death when either Ngarava is not there or Blessing is not in, and people are looking at him to do that. It's different from when you're doing the middle over periods where people can sort of see you off and then say, I will target so and so. Now people are saying, I'm going to target you, because I think he was caught unawares of that. And like, okay, this guy really is going to go after me. Out of everybody, he's going to choose me, you know. And that's very important for him to work in that mind frame, to condition him to say, but you are going to be in the hot seat. Are you prepared for that? And he prepares himself for that, because there's been a tendency to say, okay, in the latter overs of the game, it's either Blessing or it's Ngarava who bowls those. We tried it with Chatara and he got smashed. Now it was his turn. So I think it's just a matter of mindset, of conditioning him to be able to do that.
And then looking at the return of Wesley Madevere. Come in. I know that some people are like, look, he's been out, so he essentially should spend some time, you know, playing domestic, whatever. But I mean, he got banned for disciplinary issues. He wasn't dropped over form, was he?
No. He wasn't dropped over form. It was, although there were some concerns about how he is not converting more. A little bit of that he gets good starts, but he's not able to.
Yeah, but I mean, it's difficult if you start playing him at number 5, 6, or 7. Yes. He's an opener, isn't he?
Yeah. So those were the calls that were there. But like you're saying, that him being left out of the side, it was a matter of disciplinary issues. So that's why I think you even see that he's come back. It's not a matter of that took people time to decide over, are we bringing him back or not? No, it's just, okay, has he cleaned up? Yep. Let's give him a go and see what he does. And he has proved himself in the second game. He showed his tenacity, his need for runs, his game awareness of the situation, and also in his communication with his partners that were coming, that I am going to look to, you know, to blast off or take the initiative to try and score runs, of which I think it worked well. It's just a matter of time that I think that everything will come together for the top order and we can see better of him.
And then, would you, Brendan Mavuta, would you give him a run in this particular series? Or you think Wellington will be a frontline spinner? Or would you risk having two spinners, frontline spinners? Because he can bat a little.
I think, like I say, it's just a matter of the technical decisions that people would come up with. But I would definitely give him a run in this series, because in our conversations, the only way you get better is by playing against better opposition. He has been highlighted as the future for Zimbabwe in terms of people that can look towards being a premium spin bowler. Give him a go against the world's best. Let's see what he does. Do we drop Wellington Masakadze in all the games? I'm okay with it. I'm fine with it. As long as we are saying that those that we see as the future, they get to face the best. Then they can know on what they need to work on. You know, like, I don't think you would if you ask Wellington what does he need to work on after that game, he'll tell you don't put it in the slot. You know, you definitely, with these guys, they will come charging against you. He has lessons to learn from that. That's good. Let's get somebody else and see what they can do and how they have learned from watching as well the other guys play. Like, okay, what am I going to do different? You know, so I say give him a run.
And finally, the skipper has not had runs in this particular series. He's due some, isn't he?
Definitely is due runs. You see, the thing is, it's always been something that many people, when they talk about captaincy, that how really does that C at the end of your name affect your game? You know, we've seen people who are all-rounders either dropping one of the two. Like you see, what's his name, Ben Stokes. He decided that he will bowl less, try and concentrate on his batting. But he's one of England's best bowlers. But the pressure that comes with the captaincy, it has affected him. Are we seeing that with Raza here? I wouldn't be quick to say so.
I think it's just T20. Yes. I mean, look, he's in terms of all rounders, he's one of our best. He won the first match in terms of his bowling. And generally, his batting is what rescues Zimbabwe. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be too worried about it. But I get your point.
Yeah.
That sometimes the C becomes something of a burden.
Yeah.
But to think, will it be a burden enough for Raza? You can have a few games in which the runs don't come through. I mean, against Ireland, when he got the captaincy, yeah. I mean, people say, okay, the qualifier were lesser teams, but against the Ireland series, he batted quite well. And in Bangladesh, he also did relatively well. And I think in Sri Lanka, he was okay. So I wouldn't be too worried.
Yeah.
I mean, worry a bit, but because, I mean, you need runs. Because definitely. The thing is, the guys who make runs for Raza himself said, look, and I like the way he speaks and is taking responsibility as a captain. He says, as the senior players, we're the ones who should do the heavy lifting and make most of the runs. And if you look at Zimbabwe's good run under Dave Houghton, the bulk of the runs were by Craig, Sean and Raza, who were their senior players. So you probably want a bit more of that. And then now I think guys like, I think for a long time, we've treated the likes of Innocent, you're talking about, the likes of Ryan Burlow's not in the squad. A couple of guys were over 20 and have got close to 100 games under it. We'll keep treating them as if they're not seniors on the team when they really are. Because by the time you get to 30, you should really be one of the senior guys in the team.
Definitely. You know, I think that's also something that we need to get over, that mindset, not just as a team, but as the whole nation, in all sporting disciplines.
Yes.
We need to come to understand that in a sportsman's career, the minute you're 15, 16, you're already turning pro.
And Lamine Yamal, there we go.
You're already turning pro, and people treat you like a full professional player, and we should expect those kind of standards.
I mean, we don't expect you to be like Messi at 22 or anything. No, no. So, will Zimbabwe win another game in the series?
It's for us to say that it has been a good series for us. We need one more win. Even if we lose the series 3-2, but just one more win would show the kind of pedigree that we have, and I think would garner a lot of support and respect from associate nations who think they are at the same level as us, and also some test playing nations.
I should have gotten you on video saying that. Anyway, your socials?
You can catch me at The Master Eli. That's on X, former Twitter, and then on Instagram at The Master Eli.
Okay, my name is Larry Quiderai. This is a 3Mob radio production for 3 men on a boat in terms of the publishing company. Then also go and follow all the platforms, 3 men on a boat. on Instagram at 3mob.com. The three is a digit, MOBDOTCOM. Three men on boat is all words. Remember, website 3mob.com, giving you updates and reports on the matches that are taking place. And we launched a new cricket podcast called The Cricket Shed, and that is focusing specifically on grassroots cricket. Right now, we're focusing a lot on the NPL, so you can get from every match day reactions from the NPL, three to four episodes a week, in which we're covering the NPL right until the end. Then the NPL T20 Blast. And there was an advert for the Afro T10, so we don't know. It wasn't from us. We saw it somewhere. Can't confirm the dates, but nobody said no. So, my name is Larry Kwita.
Eli here. Thank you so much.
All right. All the best.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.